In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I hope you don't mind me doing a little throwback to Christmas here. I was given the liberty to pick my own text, and I took that liberty. If you don't like it, I will leave and go back to Minnesota tonight. As a new pastor, I've begun to notice a pattern emerge for me in ministry and in life, and it goes something like this. Surprise, disappointment, and then beyond expectation. I entered into ministry excited to be a church planter. I had a lot of dreams and a lot of visions about going and starting a new church that would make a huge impact on our community. I loved the idea of walking into a church, rallying a huge group of people, and then going out to do something big. That idea was amazing to me and exciting and encouraging, and I loved it. And so I was surprised when I came to our mother church that would be sending us, and that my first Sunday preaching and casting this vision of an amazing church that was going to go and do amazing things, I was surprised to see that 100 people didn't follow me out the door that day. And in fact, the next Sunday was the same. And the next Sunday, I was surprised to see how hard I had to work actually to cast this compelling vision and convince some people to get up and go and do, which led to a bit of disappointment. Disappointment because my wife and I, we would have couple after couple after couple and individuals and all sorts of people from this church over to our house, usually about 3 to 5 times a week for dinners and lunches and breakfasts and brunches and all the things that Dr. Seuss would imagine on that type of story. And we did not get a single person from all of those meals to come with us. And it was disappointing and a bit humiliating and a bit humbling that not one person who's on our team and in our church at Remedy is there because I asked them to come. In fact, I heard many no's and many let me take some time to pray about it, which is the Christian way to say no. But what was beyond expectation is from the 30 people who decided to come with us at the very beginning and start this new church, meet in basements and living rooms and then in larger rooms and then finally in schools, what surprised me out of that is very early on, a young couple came to come and do church with us, 30 people. Imagine walking into to 30 people who all know each other really well and you're the ones who don't. That can be quite intimidating. And yet just a couple weeks ago, a story came from that couple and they said this: for the first 20 years of our lives, we attended the same church. We knew people, we came and we left. But in the last couple months from being here and meeting these people and hearing the gospel preached, we feel more connected here in the last 2 months than we did in the past 20 years. And we didn't steal them from this church. They had actually been not going to church for the last couple years. Amazing how God went beyond our expectations of doing something big and massive and huge and instead took something small and decided to find some people who had been disconnected to bring them in through that. When we began public worship services, we were so excited to finally be real, to finally be legit, to finally have all of these people in the community come to us and hear Jesus, get an experience of the gospel, to be wowed by all of that. And we were surprised as we were gearing up for a big Christmas Day service. Christmas Day is Sunday. How often does that happen? I don't know the math behind that, but it doesn't seem like it happens all that often. And here, we're ready. We're ready for a lot of people to come. And the week of Christmas, our trailer that we store all our stuff in was broken into. Ugh, disappointment. And it was disappointing because all of the stuff that was in this trailer, it was supposed to help us turn this school into church. It was supposed to help it not look so fake or so plastic. It was supposed to shape the space and allow us to come in and just focus on the important things. And yet for all of this to be gone, how are we going to do church with all our decorations? I was disappointed. And yet after that Sunday was over, even without our decor and our tablecloths and our nice, fancy, frilly stuff, there was a young woman who came up who had been attending for the last month and a half, and she said this. She said, "I feel like I need to tell you this. My whole life, I would have told you that God, there's a God. He's all powerful. He's out there. He's there. There's God. I sometimes even went to church. But in the last month and a half, I now know that God is Jesus, and that he has saved me. And in that moment, we're not just bringing some people to church. We're not shifting church people around. In that moment, somehow, without fancy decorations, the lost were found. The chorus of heaven were excited and proclaiming someone's eternal destiny was changed here. Beyond expectation. I was surprised because I was excited to be a pastor, and I was excited to step into a community where I could walk people through tough stuff, where I could be there in the hard moments, where I could be called in when someone needed someone. And I was surprised because even though I held that title pastor, other people didn't see me in that way. And so most of the time I found out someone was in a hospital because I checked Facebook. Most of the time I found out something was going on in someone's life because a friend called a friend who called a friend who then decided, hey, there's a pastor I could call. Maybe I should call him. Man, that was disappointing to not be needed or wanted or seen as important in people's lives. But I'd show up anyways. And what went beyond expectation is how constantly showing up, constantly initiating, going to hospitals even though I wasn't asked, stepping into homes even though I wasn't necessarily wanted at that time, how it built a relationship that allowed me to visit a woman in the hospital who didn't go to church. It was an elder at our church, and he called me to just come and pray with her. They weren't sure where her faith was. And it was beyond my expectation, even though I wasn't her pastor, to be able to go into that hospital room, hear out of a gospel conversation some deep confession moments, some hard stuff that was released, and then eventually just a kind of surrendered trust that, what do I have left but Jesus? And it went beyond my expectations to be able to preach that funeral with all of her friends and family who were in a very similar situation as she was, not going to church, not very connected. Hey, if they were to die, we'll just talk about Jesus a lot because their life doesn't give much to talk about. Beyond expectation. And that's why I'm so struck by this Matthew text. Because if you're like me at Christmas time, you're excited to tell the Luke 2 story. You love thinking about what Mary was treasuring in her heart. You're seminary people. You love nerding out in the incarnation and reading John 1 and thinking about all that means. But if you're like me, you don't spend a lot of time in Matthew 1. And I think that very first Christmas season wasn't very happy holidays for Joseph. I think for him it was surprise. The woman he's engaged to is pregnant. Surprise, it's not yours. Because he's a good and a just and an honest man. And he wanted to keep her from shame by waiting, and yet she's pregnant. And in that moment, all of his hopes, all of his dreams, all of his excitement, all of his plans for the future of raising a family, maybe becoming notable people in their community, all that goes out the window now. Because in a culture filled with shame, they're now at the top. He lives in a shame culture. And for him, he can already hear the whispers as they're walking by. He can already see their judging glances and the wondering, was it him who brought her shame? Was it someone else? And man, if it was someone else, what's the punishment going to be? And how am I going to deal with that? And so for Joseph, in his disappointment at best, he resolves to divorce her quietly. And now the best route that he can expect is hopefully a quiet divorce and hiding from as much shame as possible. And then beyond expectation, boom, a visit from an angel in a dream. And if that isn't beyond expectation enough, there's something really profound in here. Usually when a visit from the divine happens, boom, do not fear, and people hit the floor. But for him, that do not fear is very, very specific. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this goes way beyond expectations, to the point that it kind of sounds a bit ridiculous. But Joseph's a good man and a good Jew who knows his Bible, and he starts putting the pieces together. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Joseph is to play a pivotal role in the fulfillment of these scriptural prophecies. His role in life isn't to just memorize, recite, and pray these prophecies. His role is to protect them, to hold them, to give them loving kisses in his hands. Joseph's role isn't to be the father of an illegitimate child. Joseph's role is to be the earthly father of the child who will come and make all things legitimate. And if you go back and you read through that lineage, you see that Joseph's role is that his family tree makes it into Scripture. He plays dad to Jesus beyond expectation. And I'm inspired by this story because I can so relate to this pattern. I am constantly and daily surprised at how sneaky and quickly sin creeps up into my life. I find myself worried and concerned about the future, even though just yesterday I prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread." And yet in the past 24 hours, I've worried about my kids, I've worried about getting sick, I've worried about my church, I've worried about everything. I've been a little prideful and arrogant in the last 24 hours. I've thought more of myself than I should. I have a laundry list of sins in the past 24 hours since I last confessed. And then I think, I haven't confessed in 24 hours, that's not enough. I am constantly surprised by myself, and I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that this is only a sample since yesterday. I have a laundry list of sins once again, and I'm worried that I won't measure up. But God goes beyond expectations, doesn't he? Because I don't have to worry about measuring up. I won't measure up. And the thing that sets Jesus apart from everyone else and all other religions is that with Jesus, it's not about measuring up. It's not about checking off lists. It's not about weighing good versus bad. Jesus is Emmanuel. He's with us. His name is Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And this goes beyond expectations. He's here. He's with me. He saved me. He is saving me. He will save me. Because if my last 24 hours is any indication, then I know my next 24 hours is probably not all that great. And yet he saves me. And yet he's Emmanuel. And that's what I love about Jesus. In the midst of the surprises and the disappointments of life, of ministry, of my relationship with God, he goes beyond expectation in the person and in the work of Jesus. There's surprises, there's disappointments, but my Emmanuel is beyond expectation. Amen? Amen.